All right. Welcome back, everyone, to Mastering Defense Infrastructure. I'm Darian Macy. Pretty sure my coffee hasn't kicked in yet. And with me, as always, is the incomparable Jessica Bottlebrush. Jess, what are we taking on today?
Hey, Darian. Good to be here. So today we're jumping into the Indo-Pacific Enhanced Engagement Program, usually called IPACE, looking at how it turns strategy into actual boots-on-the-ground projects overseas. Yeah?
Exactly. And for listeners who aren't familiar, IPACE is basically the action arm of Australia's defence international policy. It's what takes all those diplomatic handshakes and turns them into something real, like an upgraded base in Fiji or a new training centre in Vanuatu. I always think of it as where strategy finally meets hard hats and steel toe boots.
It's not a standalone program, though. IPACE actually sits within Defence's International Policy Division, and it's part of that whole Pacific step-up approach that we've talked about in earlier episodes, the one that ramped up our focus on regional stability and partnerships in the Indo-Pacific.
Right. And what throws a lot of new consultants is how these projects, they can outlast whoever's sitting in parliament or in embassy roles. I remember doing a briefing for a batch of consultants and the look on their faces when I said, "You'll be long gone, and this barracks will still be here making an impact." So there's that legacy angle to IPACE. These projects are purposefully designed to stick around much longer than the latest ministerial reshuffle.
Let's peel back the layers a bit, Darian. IPACE isn't just about concrete and steel. It's there to help build a region that's safer, more resilient, and more self-reliant. But we don't just mean security in an army sense. It goes all the way to things like disaster relief and community connections.
Absolutely. Every project is about enhancing regional stability. Simple things like supporting Fiji to operate as a regional hub for peacekeeping actually have ripple effects across the whole Southwest Pacific. The other side of it is just building capacity. It's not just training military, it's upskilling local workers, like when Vanuatu's project trained hundreds on construction safety. There's a real teach a person to fish aspect to it, you know?
And can we just talk about people-to-people links for a sec? Like joint planning between Aussie Defence and Fijian engineers, or running joint training courses on disaster response. Those relationships last way beyond the ribbon cutting.
That's a good point. Even humanitarian disaster response, it's central, not an afterthought. Pretty much every IPACE project has a humanitarian component baked in, right? I mean, in this part of the world, cyclones, earthquakes, they're just a reality. So these projects double as disaster relief hubs. It's strategic, but it's also just the neighbourly thing to do.
And maybe that's what sets it apart from the usual defence aid stereotype. It's actually about resilience at every level, families, communities, partner governments. And it comes back to what you said. The legacy is not just in the buildings, it's in the relationships and the self-reliance that stick around.
All right, let's head over to Fiji and talk about Black Rock Camp. It's become the poster child for what IPACE can deliver. This was a total transformation, right? From a fairly basic local base to a multi-purpose regional humanitarian and training hub.
Yeah, so the scope was massive. We're talking $100 million from Australia. Head contractor was CC Pines. And the idea was, let's not just build facilities. Let's genuinely change how Fiji can support the region. It got new headquarters, warehouses for disaster supplies, lecture halls, a medical centre, barracks, even a new sports complex, the lot.
Here's what struck me, though, over 1,100 jobs for Fijian workers created during construction. That's not just a stat, that's thousands of lives, families benefiting from skills and income.
Absolutely. It changed the employment landscape for a lot of locals. And what's great about the delivery, Darian, is those weren't just labourer jobs. Hundreds of workers got actual skills training, Fijian graduate engineers got internships. Even post-construction, Fijian businesses are still involved through ongoing maintenance contracts. I keep saying industry partnerships worked because they had to work hand in hand with the local economy there. Otherwise, you just wouldn't make it through COVID or the supply chain dramas.
And BlackRock is now used for joint regional training, peacekeeping prep, disaster response, the works. I love that it also delivers Australia's strategic message. We're here, we're invested, and we're in it for the long haul. It's not something you can replicate with a quick aid drop or a policy document.
All right, shifting a little east, Vanuatu's Cook and Tiroas Barracks. This is one of those projects where you get the classic defence industry local partnership magic. They stripped out the old, built almost entirely new base infrastructure at both sites. Cook Barracks got engineer workshops, new accommodation, base utilities. Tiroas Barracks got a new armoury and medical centre, and some of those upgrades also enabled Vanuatu's new national emergency radio network. So the impact's pretty broad, not just military, it's for national comms, disaster response, that sort of thing.
And here, over 1,000 different local workers contributed during delivery. And again, a big feature was upskilling. More than 600 locals earned an Australian White Card Safety Certification. For a lot of people, that's their entry ticket to ongoing construction work. It's a big deal for those families and for Vanuatu's economic resilience.
Let's be honest, integrating a military civil engineer team had its challenges. You've got 19th Chief Engineer Works from the Army, GHD on design, and the Icon Reeves joint venture building it, plus the local Vanuatu Mobile Force people embedded in construction teams. But that blend is what let the project really stick the landing on legacy. So after handover, it wasn't just a set of buildings no one could use or maintain. They ran on-site mentoring and left behind a locally trained workforce. Now, when something breaks, it's not a phone call all the way back to Australia.
That's what I'd call a win. And when you look at the goodwill generated, community consultation, environmental measures, actually listening to what mattered locally, it's no surprise Australia is seen by Vanuatu as a proper partner, not just a donor. Let's zoom north to Malaysia, RMAF Butterworth. Now, this base holds a special place in Australian defence history since the 50s, and it's still a key spot for joint activities under the FPDA, but it needed serious work by the time IPACE stepped in.
Yeah, and Australia's approach here was a two-phase upgrade. Phase one was quick wins. Security fence, new access, better surveillance. Phase two is where things get more interesting. Overhauling utilities, stormwater drainage, new ICT, refurbishing runways, lighting upgrades, you name it.
The political and security dance here was tight. Contractors had to coordinate with Malaysian Ministry of Defence, adhere to base protocols. Some days you'd show your pass half a dozen times before getting on site. And adapting to those local standards, sometimes even translating documentation into Malay or partnering with local suppliers. It's a real-world test of working overseas. You need flexibility, cultural awareness, and a sense of humour doesn't hurt.
And even with all the red tape, you have to make sure you're transferring knowledge, helping local staff learn new systems, equipping them to run the upgraded assets. If you don't leave that behind, you've only half finished the job. Let's break down the money side, Darian. So IPACE projects aren't like most domestic defence builds. Funding comes through Australia's defence budget as aid, under the Defence Cooperation Program mostly, so Australia covers capital costs and sometimes initial sustainment, but the asset ultimately goes to the partner nation.
Right. And project selection is always rooted in bilateral discussions, a combination of what Australia wants to support and what a partner like Fiji or Vanuatu needs. Once there's a handshake, Defence's IPACE team scopes it out, might run feasibility studies, and you'll start seeing things like market soundings or RFIs emerge for early industry input. Then you're talking actual tenders. Those are great chances for industry if you're watching the right notice boards.
Delivery models, think head contractor or design and construct for more complex sites. Sometimes it's construct only if the design's all locked in before the contractor comes on. Projects nearly always include expectations, sometimes requirements, for local business engagement, skills transfer, that kind of thing. You're rarely running solo. Integrated project teams are the norm with defence people, boots on ground alongside you.
And for anyone asking, how does this shape opportunities for industry? Well, these contracts demand high compliance and thorough project management. The funding model means you've got to deliver a world-class product, align with defence values, and understand that the end user isn't Australia. It's often the partner nation. So reporting, risk plans, all that. Top notch. And don't forget, some projects result in follow-on facilities management work or training contracts, so it's not just build and leave.
Honestly, the secret sauce of IPACE comes down to governance, local partnerships, and a crystal clear focus on sustainment. Building something's just step one. You need to integrate risk management, project controls, and regular transparent communication across all stakeholders. Defence, local military, contractors.
Yeah, and it pays to embrace the oversight. Get your project plans documented, risk registers detailed, and prepare for reporting up the chain. And let's not forget, political shifts or weather, like cyclone seasons, can throw a spanner in the works. Resilience is the name of the game in every sense.
And genuinely, the projects that work best are the ones where industry goes beyond transactional relationships. When you're working in country, mentoring a local business, or embedding the local military in delivery teams, it's a long-term win. It's less about flying in a team and more about leaving behind an ecosystem.
Sustainment's another biggie. Too many aid projects fall apart when the builder leaves because no one knows how to maintain them. That's why training, translating manuals, using fit-for-purpose tech, it all matters. Simpler sometimes is better if that's what can be maintained locally. Think of it as building not just for handover, but for the site's 10 or 20-year future.
If you still get phone calls from the local site manager years after handover with questions or for advice, you're probably doing it right. That's trust and partnership, and that's really the legacy iPACE is shooting for.
All right, so if you're an industry player tuning in, here's where you lean in. How do you get your slice of iPACE action? First, keep your radar on for market soundings and tenders, those iPACE infrastructure or Pacific engagement tags on Austender or similar sites. And think about teaming up for these jobs, especially if the project size is just out of reach for a single SME.
And don't underestimate the checklists, compliance, health and safety, environmental plans. Those are non-negotiables. Be ready to show cultural sensitivity in your approach. Local partnerships aren't just a nice to have. A lot of bids are judged on how well you engage and upskill the host country's workforce. And here's something we get asked. How are SMEs and veteran-owned businesses finding success? Well, take companies like Analytical Progression. They've teamed up with major contractors, brought digital innovation, and demonstrated true value in defence projects. So it's not just possible, it's happening.
Right. And for veteran-owned businesses especially, having that defence background is often a plus. The project governance, the value alignment. Defence clients see that as lowering delivery risk. But either way, it comes down to proving you can deliver complicated work up to defence and local standards, and showing you understand the mission. The best partners see themselves as ambassadors for Australia, not just vendors getting a check.
And do your homework. Read up on defence releases, go to briefings, start relationship building long before the tender drops. It's not a sprint. iPACE projects reward patience and proactive positioning just as much as capability and price.
Perfectly said. All right, Jess, that's a wrap for today. There's a lot to digest on iPACE, but it's a space where Australia's values and industry expertise have serious, lasting impact.
Thanks, Darian, and thanks to everyone listening. If you've got questions on international defence projects or want a topic covered, send them our way. We'll catch you next episode where, we promised, we'll look at delivery innovations and digital transformation on the defence estate. Till next time.
See you, Jess, and thanks, everyone. Keep building, keep learning. Goodbye.